Craig McClure, thank you for joining us today. At an event in Washington, D.C. recently, you were quoted as saying that the International AIDS Society has undergone huge changes in the past couple of years. What are those changes, and how will they impact this conference?
At the end of 2004, the IAS relocated from Stockholm to Geneva. And that was part of a process of reorganizing, restructuring the society. One of the things that came out of that change was the building up of a permanent secretariat, a permanent staff. Up until then, we had used temporary staff and partners for the organization of the conference. So since 2004, we built up a permanent staff of 40. That enables us to think about conferences a little bit differently. Instead of one-off events, we think of them more as part of a continuous cycle of learning. It's also enabled us to provide technical support to the regional conferences in the Asia Pacific, in Africa, in Latin America, and Eastern Europe, and to connect those more effectively to the international meetings. And then it's also enabled us to develop other sides of our work as a professional society, our education work. So for here, for example, we have our first education program that took place yesterday. 30 young developing country basic clinical and prevention scientists came together, talked about the science that will be presented here, looked at the translational issues between the three tracks, and those people also were given free one-year IAS membership, which enables them to connect to our communications structures, which have expanded, so our newsletter is becoming much more issues focused. I mentioned our work in the regions, not just with the conferences, but with regional societies who are independent from us and forming stronger links there. And perhaps most importantly, we now have the capacity to do much more advocacy and policy work. So I kind of feel like we've come to the end of that transitional phase that started late 2004, and this conference really is the first one where we have a full experienced staff in both conference organizing, in policy advocacy, in education, and regional development.
So what do you hope will come out of this conference to help move the global fight against HIV/AIDS a few steps forward?
Well, to me, this is one of the most exciting years in science ever. I would say the most exciting year since 1996, when combination antiretroviral therapy first became available. At this conference, we'll hear about two new classes of drugs, integrase inhibitors and entry inhibitors. In each of those classes, we have a drug that's been approved or is about to be approved this year, which it raises from three classes of drugs to five classes of drugs. What does that mean? It means that people with HIV and AIDS, particularly those who have run out of treatment options, now have at least one, possibly two more regimens. So that gives them more options, longer, more quality of life. And, I think that's a huge difference. Also, within a couple of the classes that currently exist, specifically the non-nucleoside analogs, there are two more drugs that are not cross-resistant to the others that are coming to the end of their phase 3 studies and likely to be approved in the next year or so. A whole range of treatment options that we didn't have before coming around this year and being presented at this conference. On the prevention side, it's also quite exciting in terms of biomedical prevention. Circumcision, which we know the results of the trials last year showed to be a really effective mechanism, around about 60% reduction in transmission in men, heterosexual men, who participated in the trials. So circumcision is beginning to be scaled up throughout the developing world as a biomedical prevention intervention. We'll hear about the diaphragm study, the results of the diaphragm study as a potential prevention tool for women. We'll hear about a number of microbicides that are now in phase 2 and phase 3 studies, not yet completed. We don't have final results, but it's looking like a really exciting conference in terms of the science.
Now, the number of abstracts that were submitted this year was 50% higher than in Rio, which Rio set a record of its own. What does that say about the state of HIV research to you, that many abstracts were submitted?
Well, firstly, I think it says quite a bit about this conference. The EIS Pathogenesis Treatment and Prevention Conference was really created 5 years ago because there was a sense that there was a need to link state-of-the-art science with implementation and to try and accelerate that gap between new data and policy and programming in the field. And I think the fact that so many more abstracts were submitted this time shows that the conference has really grown in terms of its credibility and its visibility and its importance in the field of HIV and AIDS. In terms of research overall, certainly I think that there is more research happening, particularly in developing countries. Not enough. There's not enough research capacity, not enough research infrastructure, but it is growing.
Now, a few weeks ago, the IAS presented the Sydney Declaration, which is calling for a stronger commitment to research. Why is there a need for this declaration?
Our sense is that as programs, treatment and prevention programs, are being scaled up, particularly in low and middle-income countries, and as the resources become available to do that, many countries are really racing against time to get treatments out to the people who need them and to scale up their prevention efforts. At the same time, though, it's really important that we learn from what we're doing now, that we learn from our mistakes, we learn from what's going well, and that we plan for the future, which we hope will be a brighter and a better future for HIV prevention and treatment. Now, unfortunately, that's not really happening enough in countries. I mean, there are provisions for research to be done in conjunction with scaling up programs. For example, the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria does allow for countries in their proposals to incorporate up to 10% of the budget proposed to the Global Fund to do operations research. But the fact is that on the country coordinating mechanisms in the countries themselves, these are the multi-stakeholder bodies that within each country develop the proposals for the Global Fund and then oversee their implementation. On those CCMs, which involve civil society, government, and healthcare workers, there's really a drastic lack of involvement from the research community. So what we're trying to do with this declaration is to say countries really need to learn from what they're doing now in order to drive better policy and better programming in the future. So we're trying to stimulate countries to engage the research community more effectively in the country coordinating mechanisms and other multi-stakeholder bodies within the country, and to scale up their research infrastructure, their human resources capacity to do research. And primarily we're talking about operations research, health services research, research looking at the programming being delivered now and trying to identify what's working and what's not in order to do it better in the future.
What has been the response so far to the declaration?
Well, we have over 1,500 signatures so far. The declaration itself and the call to sign on to the declaration went out on our website just over a week ago. It was in conjunction with the publication of the Lancet's pre-conference special issue on HIV, which is the second time the Lancet has done that. The first was in Toronto. Throughout the week at the conference here, there will be opportunities for more people to sign on. We're going to highlight it in the opening of the conference. In each of the sessions, there will be slides calling attention to the Sydney Declaration. But I'm really thrilled that already almost 2,000 scientists, researchers, and implementers throughout the world have signed on.
Now, at last year at AIDS 2006 in Toronto, you talked about a policy report that would be issued to measure that how well the evidence that was presented at the conference was actually implemented. So in a way to kind of seek some accountability for what was talked about in Toronto. Can you talk a little bit about the state of that policy report and if there's going to be anything similar from this conference in Sydney?
Certainly. The Toronto policy report's being released today at the conference. It's in printed form available at the IAS booth and will be on our website in the next couple of days. You know, what it does was it analyzes what were the key flashpoint or hot button issues at Toronto in terms of policy. How were they addressed at the conference? What gaps were identified at the conference in terms of moving from from concerns about policy to actually implementing sound policy. So it identifies the key issues that were discussed at Toronto. It also looks at the commitments that were made at Toronto from leadership, whether it be political leadership or financial leaders from around the world, or even celebrities and community leaders for that matter. So it identifies the commitments that were made at Toronto. How we're using that report in terms of planning the next International AIDS Conference, which will take place in Mexico City next August. We're working with the program committees and the organizing committee for Mexico to identify from that report what were the issues that were really critical and discussed in Toronto, what's happened since, and how can we highlight at the Mexico conference where commitments were lived up to that were made in Toronto, where there's been shifts in policy as a result of the discussions at Toronto and what happened afterwards. And hopefully that's another part of our kind of transformation at the IIS. That enables us to not just have institutional memory or conference memory, but be able to really play a strong role in advocating for change, the kind of change that people are talking about at our conferences that needs to happen.
And will there be any sort of policy report issued here in Sydney, or any sort of attempt at accountability?
Sure. Well, this is primarily a scientific meeting, of course. We will be doing a report that highlights the main issues that were discussed, the main data that was presented. Where there are policy issues discussed at this conference, for example, there's a non-abstract driven session focused on HIV testing. There's been a lot of talk around shifting from a voluntary counseling and testing model to more of a provider-initiated testing model. So actually, healthcare providers offering testing to their clients or patients when they come forward for healthcare, being a little bit more proactive about offering HIV testing. That's been controversial in some circles because, of course, there are always concerns about stigma, discrimination. So it's important that as testing becomes more available, more routinized, if you like, that there's real care and attention paid to ensuring that there are protections for people who do test positive, to protect them against discrimination in their countries. And there's a need to monitor that as new testing models are rolled out. That will be discussed at our non-abstract driven session on testing, and we'll certainly be covering that issue in the report. That's just an example of the number of issues. Another one, I think, is a special session that is on Tuesday, I believe it is, on antiretroviral guidelines that takes place at lunchtime. As I mentioned earlier, there are so many new options in terms of drugs that are becoming available this year and next year. That's going to change the landscape in terms of looking at what should be the first drug, the first regimen of drugs that people take versus second and third options. So there'll be a lot of discussion at that meeting about revising the guidelines as they stand in light of these new treatment options. We'll be reporting on that and looking back again in the future about what's happened as a result of the discussions, the dialogue that takes place here.
Craig McClure, Executive Director of the International AIDS Society, thank you for joining us today, and we wish you the best of luck with this conference.
Thank you very much.